The collect for today gives us our theme for this third Sunday of Easter. This prayer that God will make himself known, that Jesus will make himself known to us in the breaking of the bread. It may remind you immediately of the passage from the gospel that we read last year at this time. The one of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember, they were still in their grief. They were still in their loss. And because their hearts, the eyes of their hearts were downcast, they couldn't see the light of Christ walking right with them. And so it took finally for Jesus to sit with them and break bread, a Eucharistic feast, to open their eyes again and see that he was with them again. So that's the theme of how we, in our losses, in our grief, in our sorrow, need Jesus' help to see again. And for me, that means that this week brings me back immediately to last year. Just a year ago that we lost our beloved friend and pastor, Gurdon. And I know some of you have been thinking a lot about him, and as have I, you know, these past couple of weeks. The daffodils have started to come up, and I've been with my camera looking for them and weeping for them. And I've been thinking a lot about how he taught us this gospel message again and again and again, of how our tears can be a barrier, but they need not be when we trust God, when we trust that Christ is a risen God. One of the ways that he taught me, though I will confess, true confessions, it was a lesson I did not learn right away, was in one of his great sculptures, Lord of the Dance. Do you all know that sculpture? Anybody not know that sculpture? Have seen that? There's a small one here in the sacristy. If you haven't seen it, come back afterwards, and it's hanging up there. And it's of Jesus on the cross, but not in the typical postures we see him up here on the crucifix in suffering. But rather, Jesus is leaping, dancing for joy. Lord of the Dance. And the first time I saw it was at the Episcopal Church at Cornell. One of the gifts that he left us was an altar cross. So it sits on a stand. The cross has a stand, and then you have the bronze of Jesus leaping. And when I got there, the students introduced it to me with a nickname. They said, "Oh, that's Layup Jesus." And I will say, I think they were making fun a little bit. And so I didn't really catch what he was doing there. I sort of said, "Oh yeah, there's Layup Jesus." And we didn't use it very much the first years I was there. The students kind of said, "Oh, that reminds us of the past. We don't want to see that," right? So we kind of put it away. But of late, I have been thinking an awful lot about that cross. It's odd because it's, of course, historically, you might say, completely unrealistic to imagine Jesus doing that in the moment of his great agony. So on one level, you could say it's not historically accurate. But what Gurdon saw in his hands and in his heart as he was shaping that bronze was a much deeper spiritual truth. That the miracle of Easter is that God dances on the very day of his deepest grief with us. That is a scandal to the world. It's a scandal it's a scandal to me to think that way. That we could know joy even on the days of our deepest grief is scandalous. But that's what happened on that day at Emmaus. That's what happened in this gospel today. After they got through all of their emotions when they saw him, I'm sure they were feeling the kinds of things you know, that we all feel that can prevent us from seeing joy. Guilt. They saw Jesus and they remembered how they'd fled from him. And they probably were scared. They thought they saw a ghost because they were afraid he'd come back to let them have it, right? For not. Or maybe it was shame. For the same reason. They were ashamed of what they'd done and left undone. And so when they first saw the light of their lives, they met it not with joy, but with shame and fear. Or maybe it was just caught up in that terrible feeling of abandonment, that he'd left them, that the one that they had thought was going to be with them forever had died and left them. And some of what they were feeling was that vulnerability that we all feel in the face of loss. And so they couldn't see the joy. Something like that happens in our first lesson today with the man who's been lame from birth that Peter and John heal. His entire life had been lived as a cripple, we're told, at the beautiful gate of the temple, laying there, unable to move, getting alms from the people who passed him, by him on their way into the temple. Can you imagine? Maybe some of you have had lifelong afflictions of body or mind. And so maybe you know something of what it must have been like for that man to have every day laid there thinking, this is as good as it will ever be for me. I might get some handouts today. You know, we might think of some of the people who go to Lowe's and Fishes every day for a meal and think, maybe this is as good as it gets. Sometimes our sorrow and our grief cause us to think that something like survival, just plain survival, is the good news. And so it's hard for us when the good news comes to see it. That's what that miracle was about. They looked at him intently. They saw his disappointment. They saw his cynicism. They saw his sense, it's just another person who's going to come and give me a handout and then just keep on walking. And they stop and they look at him the way Jesus looked at those two on the Emmaus Road, the way he looks at the disciples today and says, really look and see. I am not leaving you ever. And that's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news that we have every time we come and break bread at this table. That even on the days of our losses, and this is not a pie in the sky gospel, they will be there. I imagine the lame man, you don't hear this part of the story, I'm sorry, they don't give you the actual miracle of him being healed in the book of Acts, but there he is, he's been lame his entire life. And they heal him, and it says he stands up, and he doesn't just walk into the temple, he dances, right? He leaps for joy. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know, we don't get the rest of the story a la Paul Harvey, but I'm guessing the next day he got Bengay on his legs, and he was thinking, maybe I shouldn't have, you know, gone all out the first time out of the gate, right? There will be good days and bad days. Healing, God's healing, isn't magic. There will be good days and there will be bad days. There will be leaps for joy and there will be disappointments. But the light never departs from us. That's why I tell you, Happy Easter. That's why we say our Alleluias day after day, no matter what. So Gurdon put that Lord of the Dance there for us, so that we would not forget. Maybe we need to take it out of there and put it in here somewhere so you all can see it if you forget. But what a gift. What a gift. We give thanks for all these blessings. And we pray that we may continue to grow in love, in truth, in joy. All in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith with the Nicene Creed on page 358.